It's Tech Plus time again. Hello to you and welcome. If you just joined us here, we are ready to talk about all the latest things technology that happened in the past week. My name is Jan, and as always, I'm joined by Kane. Kane, how's it, man? How was your week?
Our week was good. It's a good week.
Good week.
I feel like the weather's... Well, actually, you know what? We had a pretty cold end of the week.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's a bit, it's past the worst of it. It was really cold. Probably the coldest I've felt in a while.
And there was snow, but I think that was just winter's final bell.
I saw some hail as well, but it was
rainy.
Yeah,
I thought it was more like ice rain, because I caught one of the little thingies that fell out of the sky.
Tiny hail.
Very small little ice blocks.
Yeah, just enough to add a nice texture to your car, not quite a dent.
Yeah, but listen, you know what could have been a big dent in your house is that... a meteor that fell in the Eastern Cape. You know that people actually walked next to the beach and found pieces of it. It was like black rock.
I heard about that.
That they found. Now, I see that the astronomers said that meteor that came down was as big as a car.
Wow.
Now imagine that thing came through your roof.
You would
be very unlucky. So luckily it went into the sea, but pieces of it, it looked like just pieces of burned rock, black rock.
Apparently it struck the water and went straight to the seabed and hit the seabed so hard that that's the tremors that
I that was just after 8 o'clock in the morning, I think. So, I mean, can you imagine how beautiful it would have been if it was at night?
Oh.
But it was during the day, but still it was very bright during the day. But I didn't hear anything. Did you?
No, I can't say that I heard anything.
I didn't feel anything. Did you feel anything?
Nope. I mean, I might have been asleep, though, to be totally honest.
Yeah, it was probably... Nah, I don't think we would feel anything.
But I think if you were there... I remember once I was looking into the sky. It was actually quite an evening time, and there was a shooting star.
Oh, that's so beautiful, hey?
And yeah, and it was just kind of like a light glow, just kind of flowing through the sky. Mm. And then all of a sudden, it just turned into like a big red ball of fire, and then got quite big, and then quite blue, and then just disappeared.
Whoa.
And if you're there and you see it, it happens so fast that by the time you've called all your friends to look, it's gone.
Yeah.
So it must be really special. If you did see it.
Mm.
And all captured on camera. Like, that's even more of a...
Yeah, because these people were walking next to the beach, apparently, and then they heard like a boom or something coming. They thought it was a plane. And then it was this meteor.
Wow, I would feel so cool finding a piece on the ground and having that
piece. It was like black rock. It looked quite funny.
I'd test it.
Burnt rock or something.
I'd try and figure, I wonder if, does it float? You know, I have so many questions, but...
Yeah, but unfortunately, the two people stuck in space are still there. They couldn't...
they watched from the other side.
They couldn't catch a lift. Imagine, Uber to Earth.
I heard they released when they were going to get... returned back to Earth.
Yeah, February next
year.
So I was like, I was like, cool, okay, so they'll be here, they'll be home for Christmas. No, next year, February. Jeez.
Anyone who doesn't know, in June, NASA sent up, it wasn't even NASA, it was Boeing, sent up two astronauts for a quick routine 2-week, you know, less than 2-week trip up to the International Space Station. Long story short, Boeing's problems that they had with... Their Boeings seem to be carried through to their spaceship, and they had some helium leaks and some other odd and end problems that prevented them from returning. And they've now been in, you know, kind of transit there in the void of not knowing whether they're coming home or not until last week, Saturday, when they announced that in fact you are going home in February. Can you imagine that you went somewhere? Almost 2 months ago. It's not like a trip to the mall or a trip overseas. It's completely off of Earth into a confined space, which is not easy to get to and from. And you are there for 2 weeks and you hear, oh no, you know, something's gone wrong. We might not get back in 2 weeks. 2.5 months later, you hear, yep, you're coming home in 4 months from that date.
But I think you need to be so strong psychologically, you know, mentally, you got to be so strong, because I think most people would just break down.
I think if you locked me in a room for 4 months straight, I would
lose it. Yeah.
But lock me in space. I think that's terrifying. That's even more scary for me than going underwater and being stuck underwater.
Yeah, and it's beyond fascinating. I mean, those people have seen everything. Now, they just want to get home. I mean, they're not lost at sea. They're freaking lost in space.
Yeah.
Or Stuck in Space, I mean.
They're going to make a movie out of it. It's called Stuck in Space.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a horrible thing.
The six-month voyage.
I watched this movie once where they left this guy. They betrayed him, and then they left him alone in space. They lied to him. I can't remember what the movie was called.
It's quite a double crosser.
Anyway, the guy was stuck in space forever and ever and ever and ever.
What would you do? Would you jump back to Earth? Would you take that? If all else comes to shove and you're like, there's only one way, would you jump back to Earth? What would your approach be?
But Kane, I would never make it.
You wouldn't survive.
Yeah, so.
So would you rather not survive on the space station or not survive coming back into the atmosphere of Earth?
Yo, that's a good question. I don't know, might as well have a spectacular farewell and go and jump out, eh? I don't know.
I'll jump for Earth.
Would you jump?
Belly flop.
Yeah, that, oh, I wonder how long.
I'd rather not be in that situation.
Just a second or so that you'll actually know what's happening and then it will be over. But listen, we just mentioned the cold front and everything.
Yes.
AI was a problem once again this week with all the snow photos going around on Facebook. People like posting photos on the snow groups and whatever. And some of them were caught faking it. And those were AI images.
Really?
AI generated. I don't know how they were caught. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because so obviously you have like the Stellenbosch Mountains, but now the snow's on it, but it just looks a little too white.
It's off. Something wrong.
Yeah. And then the photographer or somebody who knows his photos, he said, this is AI.
That's crazy.
Now they've got a problem on the groups because people are now posting these AI photos and saying it's their own. And now they can't say, but listen, is this AI or did he just use like an enhanced program after taking the photo? So see, once again, that problem of telling what is real and what is not, it's once again a massive issue.
UK, yes.
And it's becoming an increasing issue. It's just like creeping into a lot of industries right
now.
What
was the story last week that we spoke about someone faking a problem with their food from the restaurant with AR, just taking a photo and saying, put an insect on the food.
Or the dust.
Or the dust.
Yep.
And that makes it very difficult to distinguish what's going on. And speaking of, I mean, people who actually did distinguish what was going on, the two men behind one of South Africa's biggest online fashion retailers, Superbilist. Don't you think Superbilist kind of came out of nowhere? Did you hear about a big Superbilist launch event and like a new e-commerce shopping?
So it's Superbilist.
Yeah, Superbilist.
Superbilist.
Well, you can call it Superbilist if you want.
Yeah, no, I knew somebody who worked there.
Oh, really?
So that's how I know. And Superbilist.
Is that how they want you to say
it? Yeah, I work at Superbilist.
Okay, because it's superb.
Yeah.
It's super. It's superb.
That's how I remember it.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay,
is Superbilist still going?
Well, it is. And you know how they started it? It was back in 2010. Claude Heinen and Luke Jedikin in South Africa started a online coupon business whereby you would have a really good deal, like one of those one-day deal things where you could get a really good deal. But the only way that deal would unlock is if enough people said they would buy it. So you would get like an ad or something that said, you know, this watch 55% off. And if 100 people bought it, then the deal would unlock. And that's actually how they became successful enough to start Superbilist. And I must say that Superbilist is a great store. I mean, it's one of South Africa's top clothing retailers.
Is it cheaper than Shein?
No, nothing's cheaper than Shein.
Have you ordered clothing from Shein?
No, but you know what did happen with Shein?
Where did you buy a hat?
Shein was in the Mall of Africa recently.
Yes.
They did the little test.
Little pop-up shop thingy.
Yes. And when they did that, apparently, obviously the first thing that I don't think everybody knew was you can't actually buy clothes from the store.
Mm.
The only thing you can do is go into the store, see the thing that you like, and then go on to the online store and buy that thing with a discount.
As you would do anyway.
It's like the reverse shop. You know what I mean? Normally you would go shopping and you'd say, oh, that's very nice at my local store. Let me go online and get it cheaper.
But why couldn't I just go and view it from home without going to the mall?
Well, there you get to see it in person. I imagine they put their best of their best stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I think because they put the best of the best stuff, people came to buy the best of the best stuff and found out they couldn't. So I don't know how it went, but apparently they had lines.
How many people actually, you know, bought it eventually?
And they asked, does this seem like something you guys might do more often? And they said, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see very, very popular online stores start establishing themselves physically to promote online store sales, and just using that shop as a warehouse, as a stop and go for parcel delivery, and just a node within their greater network. But yeah, that's very, very interesting. Another thing is, you won't believe this, apparently Home Affairs has the worst internet speeds in South Africa.
Well, the system is always offline, so.
Apparently, yeah. Home Affairs has 2 megabyte per second internet connection.
What?
Right?
What, ADSL?
Apparently, DHA Minister Leon Schreiber recently confirmed that some branches still used a 2 megabyte per second connection in an interview with Newsroom Africa.
No wonder.
And what they were basically saying was, they believe that a large portion of the reasons that the municipality sometimes appear as offline, or maybe have downtime, because, you know, sometimes you go there and you sit in a line for 3 hours and it's offline. Mm-hmm. Well, they can't accept cash.
But no wonder.
Well, they can't even accept a payment, let alone cash. They can't record or give you a receipt or anything.
When last did you have a 2 meg line? Back in the ADSL days, like the beginning of the
2014.
ADSL.
2014. Yeah.
Oh, wow, you remember. So that's like a decade ago.
Yeah. 10 years ago, and they still have that connection today.
But that was like an entry-level connection. I remember I signed up for 1 meg, and then they said, hey, but you get an extra meg, so you've got a 2 meg line. But you always got 1 point something when you checked your download speed.
I just don't understand how they can have such slow internet.
No, but that's probably fine for loading Google or so on, but not when you're working with documents and uploading
so slow,
and stuff.
Connection is
I didn't know it existed. Is it ADSL? Who's the provider?
The truth is, you can't, in South Africa, you can't buy an internet connection with that speed anymore.
No.
There is no, like, there, it's not even a joke. There is no way that you can go to an internet service provider, any of them, and buy a 2 megabyte per second internet.
Yep.
The lowest you can get is a 4 megasecond, and fiber, and they've got DSL. So apparently the issue comes down to a company by the name of CETA. Apparently, in order for these things to be resolved, the municipalities have to go through a place called CETA. And CETA previously said that, you know, Home Affairs had bought the cheapest possible DSL service with the lowest level service agreement. Long story short, apparently there's a lot of red tape to something as simple as increasing internet connection speed.
Ugh.
But I would never have believed Home Affairs literally has the slowest internet connection in South Africa. And they have to manage quite a lot.
Just another over-regulated industry in South Africa.
Here's another thing that I found quite interesting. Did you know that DStv and Showmax don't support 4K?
What do we watch it in then?
You would stream it probably maximum 2K.
Okay.
1080p and 2K.
Can you tell the difference?
On the right TV, definitely.
On the right TV, yeah.
You wouldn't.
Why not?
Huh?
Why not? Why not 4K?
Well, here's the thing. Apparently, internet infrastructure challenges and data affordability in Africa are the primary reason MultiChoice's DStv and Showmax video streaming services do not yet support 4K resolution. Here's an interesting fact for you. Showmax launched in 2014, the same year Netflix started streaming in 4K. So we're quite far behind. You know, that means the year Showmax launched, Netflix launched with 4K. It's like, that's hectic.
Ouchie.
And apparently, in their defense, they said that during the FIFA World Cup, they did test 4K streaming for sports.
Mm.
And what they found was apparently unsurprising, and I can understand that. In regions that had very good infrastructure, the streaming was uninterrupted and it was good quality. Because even here in South Africa, you can stream Netflix at 4K. You can, 100%. You know, it's not like we don't have the infrastructure for it.
Mm.
However, what they did notice was in some of the more rural areas, they weren't able to maintain that kind of network connectivity.
Was it buffering a lot?
I imagine it was. So what does that mean? Well, I don't think it's entirely the case that the only reason DStv and Showmax don't have 4K is because a small percentage of the population is watching on infrastructure that isn't capable of streaming it. I think it comes down to the raw cost of it. If someone's watching at 1080p versus someone watching at 4K, the person watching at 4K is effectively downloading 4 videos for every 1 video that the 1080p person's watching. So if they do enable 4K streaming, and if the majority of the streaming quality is 1080p, effectively what they're saying is they could load themselves up with 4 times more demand on their servers by offering a 4K. I think that's the actual reason. But I find it very interesting. I always thought, hey, DStv, Showmax, everyone, I thought all of them have 4K. But no, apparently yeah, not. And apparently Sport is the only one where they really test that out. So I'm pretty sure if you're a big sports fan, you probably find that they do support 4K. But DStv, obviously online. I don't know about DStv with a decoder. I think when you have a decoder, I think you can get 4K.
Yeah, because it comes via satellite. Yeah.
Surely, because why the heck would you buy a 4K TV then?
Yeah.
And buy a DStv.
It comes via satellite.
So it must, at least the satellite, you know you're getting DStv 4K. But if you're watching it over the internet, the likelihood that is that you're not. And it kind of brings me on to what I'll speak about next is there's no real physical media for you to consume extremely high quality content. Back in the day, we used to have Blu-ray. Go rent a Blu-ray DVD now. Where the heck are you going to go?
Good point.
You know? And if you do find a Blu-ray disc, how are you going to play it? Like, who even has a Blu-ray player?
Yeah.
Who even has a DVD player?
Nope.
You know? So, times are changing, eh? Times are changing.
It's going quite quickly, actually.
It is. It is. We have another tech company in South Africa making waves globally. This company is called Karoo, with not one, not two, not three, but 5 O's at the end of it. So it's basically Karoo. And they're one of the best performing technology companies on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, or JSE, with its share price increasing by 46% over the last year.
Gee.
The company's share price performance was driven by Karoo's steady revenue and earnings growth and its successful global expansion. Karoo is headquartered in Singapore and is best known for its CarTrack software as a service platform, which provides real-time data analytics and business intelligence. Although the company is based in Singapore, it has its roots in South Africa, which remains its core part of its operations. Zach Callisto, the founder and CEO of Karoo, started CarTrack as a joint venture with Netstar in South Africa in 2001.
Remember Netstar?
Who doesn't know CarTrack as well, hey? CarTrack. CarTrack prevents your car from getting carjacked.
Yeah.
But super popular technology out of South Africa.
That's pretty
awesome. Come on, that's
proud.
Cool, you know?
Proud.
And they've up 46%.
That's very good.
In a year.
Karoo.
It's kind of bad because why would car tracking be going up? Probably because cars getting stolen are going up.
So exactly.
It's kind of like celebrating a negative year.
Exactly.
It's like, yes, more cars are getting stolen. Therefore, a South African company is getting in the spotlight.
Exactly. You know? That's how it works.
And then in other news, Google Play. Now, this is something that I think you will relate to. Anybody who's ever had to regularly update apps on their phone would probably relate to this. Mm. And I can't believe we're only talking about this in 2024. Google's Play Store can now finally install or update multiple apps at once.
Okay, not just one by one.
Yeah, because I normally saw one updating,
another
one,
yes,
and then another one.
Okay.
And it took forever.
Yeah, oh, okay, wow.
So now apparently three can update at once.
Okay, what took him so long?
Yeah, like that's
just... It was just one by one, and it would suck if you got a message saying you have like 30 apps waiting for updates. Then I just usually leave it and just do the essential ones manually. Because it takes so bloody long.
It takes long, one at a time.
Okay, wow.
So now there's three at once. And it also means you can install them at once.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but sometimes I need like three different apps and I'm like...
Yeah, and then you can't because it's busy installing the one.
You can tell you want three at once, but it's going to install the one and then the other.
Okay, well, finally. Yeah, you're right. What took them so long? Why only now in 2024?
No, that's crazy. And TikTok's also making some changes, something I didn't expect, is adding new ways to fine-tune your For You page algorithm. A new slider tool allows users to signal they want more content based on certain topics. So you can actually go into your TikTok. You can go to Content Preferences. You can go to Manage Topics, which can be found in the Settings and Privacy section. And you can adjust sliders to signal if you want certain topics more or certain topic less in your For You page.
Wow.
Which I actually think having an ability to graphically see your For You algorithm based on content preferences for me would be really useful, because I might be like, hey, I want more sport. Hey,
yeah.
I want more information.
That's
stuff.
Really awesome.
You know, I want less dumb, stupid stuff. You know, I want less stuff about, you know, fitness. Maybe I don't want to make myself feel like I'm, you know, maybe I just want to keep quiet on that kind of, you know, constant contact from social media telling me I'm not fit enough and whatever, you know.
Mm.
You can control your algorithm. You can prioritize your mental health. And you can make sure that when you are consuming content, at least it's of some preference that you deem, you know, because sometimes you can go just into the black hole of social media and YouTube and TikTok and sometimes you'll find that where you end up isn't where you started.
Nope.
And sometimes where you end up isn't even better than where you started. It's like, can be like sad. You like it start happens. Watching like, true drama stuff, you know, like real life crime stories and like, you know, it's like going down. Eminem calls it the YouTube wormhole, the YouTube black hole.
It is, yeah. And you usually end up there during the midnight hours when you should be sleeping.
Yeah, burning the midnight oil, consuming the content, the scroll lock.
Yeah,
we know it. Apparently, also, the Telegram CEO, he's been arrested. We'll talk about that as soon as we come back from the music break.
Okay, cool. I wonder why he was arrested. Okay, well, we'll find out after this. And we're back. And guess what, Kane?
What's it? Tell me.
It's E-Radio's fourth birthday this weekend.
Whoa!
Can you imagine, can you remember 4 years ago when you joined us for the very first time in a little loft inside a roof that got really, really warm in winter, in summer, and really, really cold in winter, remember?
Do you remember, did you feel that before and after, that progression over the last 4 years, eh?
Absolutely.
What an amazing feeling it is.
It is, yeah. Obviously, you would sometimes like to have it go faster, but that's not realistic.
It's not life.
Yeah, life gets in the way, you get some problems, you get some challenges, but you go through all of it. Just reaching the fourth birthday, I feel like it's a good milestone. It also shows people that we are serious and we're in it to win it, you know.
And if you could go back, would you do it all again?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the process of putting it all together, that's a good question. The process of putting it all together was so nice and fun and creative that I actually miss it.
You don't want to do it again.
Now that everything is in place, you know, I actually miss that feeling where you started it from scratch. But just a quick memory that we have was one afternoon we did Tech, I think it was still called Tech Thursday.
Yes.
And it was live on a Thursday afternoon between 3 and 4. And we were in this little loft room. And this was 2020, 2021, I think. And there was this massive thunderstorm the afternoon. And we were sweating profusely. Remember, Kane?
I remember, yeah.
Like, we were sweating all over. And then there was this massive lightning storm with the lightning just hitting all over the lagoon, very close to us. And then the internet went out first, and then the electricity.
Yeah.
And all we could do was just stand in the studio and watch the lightning.
There's nothing left for
us. And we had no show that week. We had absolutely no show.
Power cut plus internet cut.
Yeah, I remember. And we were just completely off air. And then the backup playlist kicked in on the cloud. But we actually didn't have a show that week.
We actually captured some of that lightning on camera, actually.
Yeah, that you was still wild, have it somewhere.
Eh? Yes.
Now, it was very close to us. It was loud. And that day, the humidity was insane.
It was like 80%. It was wild.
Yeah, but I want to thank you, Kane. You've also been with us from the start. And I think it's amazing. And I love consistency. And I like people who stick to something. So I just want to say thank you to you as well, man.
Thank you for paving the way for us to build out this awesome show for everyone to listen to.
I actually got a message the other day from Facebook saying it's been, I think, 9 years since I interviewed you on the Neisner local radio station.
Really? Wow.
It was a post you did to say, thanks, Jan. It was a great talking to you. Whatever. I still have that recording somewhere. Wow. We must play it one day and hear if we sound different.
We must. Let's go find it, bro.
I've got it somewhere in my archives.
You got it next week.
I'm wondering what we sounded like.
Next
you know?
Week. We got to play a snippet out of that.
Just crazy, man. But anyway, what have you got for us next?
The arrest of the Telegram CEO, Pavel Durov. Anyone who doesn't know what Telegram is, Telegram is essentially a competitor to WhatsApp. It's alternative to WhatsApp. It's a messaging application. But their main selling point was to be kind of free from centralized government control. So what they were basically marketing was, hey, use our messaging app. We'll never work with governments to give your information out. That's just what they were saying. That was the USP. And as such, what Telegram says is a lot of people abuse their platform. So they wanted to provide a safe space for people to communicate within the parameters of the law. However, not everybody obeyed that exact thing. You know, some people who fully obey the law just would prefer to have that privacy of not having someone like Facebook be able to build targeted ads to you based on your conversations with your mom, you know. But some other people have more malicious intents and started drug operations and you know, all sorts of the illegal stuff that comes along with it. And you know, governments found themselves in a difficult position. The governments, had to ask the CEO of Telegram and Telegram themselves for information so that they could solve crimes and protect their populace. And Telegram refused. They said, we can't, you know, because our USP is to not work with you. We can't do it even on the slightest occasion. We can't even do it if it warranted, because that's not our USP. So what they basically said was, sure, then what we will do is we will arrest you and we will blame you for the things that you, your users have done on Telegram. So they're basically saying, if you don't give us the information, then you're to blame for this. We will make you responsible for it and we'll take you to court accordingly. And their argument is, you can't blame the company or the CEO of a company for people abusing the platform of that company, because they didn't create the vehicles for people to do that, but they most certainly have people doing things they wouldn't want them to do. The argument would be on the moderation side.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so how much effort have you made to clean up these bad actors? You know, what things have you done? What rules have you put in place? What content moderation policies do you have? What actions have you taken against these individuals to assume that you're not enabling them, that you're actually making it harder for them? So that's what they have to prove. They have to prove that they've been making it harder for them. For the time being, Pavel was arrested by the French police when he made when he landed on his private plane. He's like a billionaire, so he's like quite a big
guy. But a young guy still, eh? I saw the picture. He looks very young.
Yeah, most people, and he's also quite like ripped. He's like quite a buff guy. And a lot of people, when he got arrested, the only thing that they were saying is, the only thing we want to know is natty or nah, which basically means we just want to know if you're natural or not.
Oh, yeah.
If you take steroids or not, basically.
Question. But he's, how old is he?
He's very young. He's in his 30s.
I thought he was even younger. He looks like he could be early 20s.
I know. I don't know his exact age, but he looks younger than 30. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but very rich for his age anyway.
He's a billionaire. I mean, he's totally set. I mean, he's on a different world.
Freaking private plane.
But he's been released. Okay. But he's not allowed to leave France.
So
he's locked down.
Okay, so the French government obviously have huge issues with him.
They want to blame him essentially for everything that's been going on Telegram, and it's not good. You know,
it's a lot like when they grilled Zuckerberg about all that stuff.
It is. It is a bit like that, because it's in the same way, you know, drug dealers sell drugs on Instagram. You know, people who do illegal things need ways to speak to the people they're doing the illegal things with. So you're blaming the method of communication for the action. And as wrong as it is, what would you do in France's position? Because there's real crime, there's real money laundering, there's real tax evasion, and there's real bad stuff that's even worse than all of those things. And you can't get them to stop, but they're operating in your country. That's the tough one.
But I mean, isn't it just like detaining the manufacturer of a knife, a kitchen knife? And now you say to the guy who invented the knife, or who was making the knife, your knife is killing people.
Yeah.
So we're going to arrest you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, that knife was meant for your kitchen and to make food and stuff. So who do you blame?
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And I think it all comes down to the innocent people who come across this content and get sucked into something that they would have otherwise never been exposed to in their life. And I think for France, it's bad because it affects your population. It's affecting the people that live in your country. It's being used essentially against your country, because people are using it to organize crime and things within your country. They're using it to avoid you and do things without you being able to stop it. It's the free speech argument. It's like, people want to be able to speak for free, but and to be able to speak openly and be able to access anything that they want. But at the same time, the people that have the worst of intentions make it the bad part, make it bad, make free speech terrible, make it horrible. Because, like, look at Twitter, for example, or X now. X, do you know, you can just be going through your For You page and you can just scroll into, you know, content that should be 18 plus. It could be someone getting shot.
Oh, yeah. Twitter is, or X is, quite graphic.
Could be someone getting ridden over.
I mean, there's porn on there.
There's anything that comes along with free speech on X.
That's another problem.
And it's going to be what's on Telegram as well. So it's the free speech argument.
Yeah.
And it's not, and we just have to watch and see what happens, because they really are fighting a fight that not many of us would be capable of navigating, even with the current landscape. That being said as well, Google finally an AI feature I could actually use is coming to Gmail, mm-hmm. and this is the ability to ask AI things about your inbox. Like, hi, that's Mr. Cool. AI. I remember a long time ago, I got a message from someone who really needed my help doing a job, but I can't seem to find it. Please help
me.
Wow,
that's brilliant.
And it can go out and search your whole mailbox.
Oh, my word. That's brilliant.
Let's be honest. You can be many things. But if you have 10,000 emails and you have to go through every single one of them.
No, search for the keyword or something.
It takes forever. If you know what you're looking for, but you don't know how to look for it, it could never be found.
Yeah.
You could not know actually how to bring this thing up. You know, especially if, let's say, I sent you a screenshot of the number for someone you can call, but I just emailed it to you with no text on, no subject. The screenshot was just named like 2022-0405.
Yeah, and now you have to find it.
AI, hey, please, bro, there's a screenshot on here somewhere.
That's brilliant.
And it can help
you. That's amazing. You see, that's where AI is our friend once again.
Yes, that's helpful.
That's brilliant.
Because if it takes you 25 hours to go through 20,000 emails, it's going to go through 20,000 emails in 20 minutes. Would you really, to stop AI from being, would you really prefer to do that yourself?
Yeah.
No ways. Do you think your time is better spent not navigating through digital records of email history and to be able to ask a computer that can just quickly look at all of it and tell you? Especially if you're like some crypto people will know what I'm talking about when I say you might have sent yourself your private keys or your password to your crypto that you were, and then you didn't know how to find that email again.
Mm.
And you might have gone through all your emails 5 times looking for the things. So to be able to speak to AI and ask it things like that, also aggregated analysis of your own concurrent messages on your phone. Let's say you had a lot. Let's say you've had your phone for 4 years and you're trying to find a conversation between you and a friend that speak every single day. Rather just ask AI to go find this message that could be anywhere. And the only caveat is it reads all your messages to find it.
Yeah.
So,
but it's just a robot.
Can't have all things.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to
give it a little. It's worth it, eh? What do you say?
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth it. I think people are opening up more to AI. I think one of the things that show us that people are opening up more to AI is ChatGPT has had 100% user growth in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Which means last year this time they had 100 million users. This year, 200 million.
Sure.
That's 100 million in a year. That's 100% a year.
It's amazing.
Doubling every year. That's crazy. I always like to think of, you know, the doubling logic.
Yeah.
If you have a room that can hold 100,000 people in, and one person comes in, but every single day after that, the amount of people in the room double. The day before the last day, you'll consume 50% of the capacity of the room.
Mm.
Because it'll be one person, two people, four people, eight people, and eventually it'll be 500,000 people. And if you can only fit 1 million people in, on that last day, it'll go from 500,000 to 1 million. It'll do that last double. So when you see stuff like user stats doubling, it's only a matter of time, but before one day and the next, half the world uses it and the whole world uses it.
Yeah.
That's 1 day.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
That's a good one.
Who knows where that will go, eh? Gee. Who knows where that will go?
Yeah, wow.
I'll tell you where it'll go. Straight into the interest of Apple and Nvidia, who have now announced that they're considering making investments into ChatGPT. So Apple, we know they're bringing Apple Intelligence. That's going to be AI features strapped into Siri. They're going to give Siri the ability to go through all the private stuff in your phone and then give you an ability to speak to Siri on an AI ChatGPT-like level. And it'll help you do things like, please make sure that tomorrow I send my mom a message to pick up the milk. And when you do that, also put a reminder on my phone to pick up that milk. And when you see that I've gone to the store via my GPS location, just check my bank history to make sure, my app history on my shopping app to make sure that I've got that milk, and then mark that to-do is complete. That's using AI, son. You know, that's cool. So Apple, Nvidia maybe looking to invest in OpenAI. What could that mean? Well, that just, I mean, look at Microsoft. Microsoft invested like $1 billion 2-3 years ago in OpenAI. I think a year ago they invested multiple billions.
Sure.
So people are just throwing money at ChatGPT at this stage. There's newer versions of ChatGPT coming out. OpenAI is currently valued at more than $100 billion. Yeah. I mean, AI is going mad. It always is. Some of the other things as well, though. Have you ever watched a pirated movie?
Yep.
Yeah,
we all have.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, and also sometimes it was filmed inside the cinema, so you see all the heads, and that's horrible because you can't hear.
And it looks the sound is horrible, the image is horrible. No, that's the worst. But, you know, you can actually, I know a lot of my friends will also tell me to go watch a movie, and then they'll send me like something like F Movies or something like that, some sort of pirated movie website. But there's websites that you can go to just watch anything, watch absolutely any movie, any show, any TV show. And for the guys in Hollywood, that's obviously tough, and for actors and things like that, because, you know, someone out there is able to watch and view and, you know, consume your content for free, and you might have worked really, really hard on it. That being said, though, studios are currently cracking down on some of the internet's most popular pirating sites. Sites like Anywave, AnimeFlix, F Movies are disappearing. If you go to some of these sites, it shows that they're down. And apparently, they're taking such a hard stance at cracking down on some of these piracy platforms that a lot of the other platforms that they're not even targeting have started shutting down. Obviously, in fear, because, you know, you don't want to be
Pirate Bay.
Pirate Bay is long gone. Well, Pirate Bay still exists.
No, it still pops up.
Yeah.
In different addresses.
You can't take Pirate Bay down. You can't take Pirate Bay down. And that's torrenting, which is also a form of privacy. But this is like streaming. This is like going to a website and watching a movie that you haven't paid for in the same way you would watch it on Netflix. Just stream it straight off of your browser. And they're putting a big crackdown on that. And it does cost these movie industries a lot of money. But then again, some of these people that watch it don't even have money to buy it anyway, so they wouldn't have ended up buying it. Next, we take a look at Blue Sky, who's also making some updates. They've just enabled video. I feel like we're talking about AI and all this futuristic stuff, and then you hear about another social media platform finally supporting video. I mean, like, that seems like they're a little bit behind there. But Blue Sky is Jack Dorsey, the previous CEO and creator of Twitter, started another platform focused on blockchain that used to be invite-only called Blue Sky. And Blue Sky is now, it used to be invite-only and it opened to public, and they've just enabled the ability to watch videos on it. So that's pretty interesting. Another thing is the SpaceX 9 Falcon rocket, or the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, unfortunately had a pretty bad landing the other day. You know, all the time we hear about SpaceX sending rockets into space and deploying satellites into orbit. And unfortunately, this time on SpaceX, the SpaceX 9 Falcon rocket, on its trip back, after deploying a satellite, after a streak of 267 successful landings, unfortunately had an unsuccessful landing. It landed, exploded, and fell off into the ocean. And the FAA has now ordered an investigation into the failed touchdown. The incident involved in the failure of the Falcon 9 booster rocket while landing on a drone ship at sea. No public injuries or public property damage have been reported, said an FAA spokesperson in a statement to Reuters. They also went on to say that a return to flight of the Falcon 9 booster rocket is based on the FAA determining that any system, process, or procedure related to the anomaly does not affect any public safety. So you could say SpaceX is grounded, at least the Falcon 9 rocket is grounded, until they can determine what caused that failure. You know what makes me laugh about that? You hear about SpaceX sending rocket after rocket after rocket after rocket into space. And on the 297th flight, where it explodes, they're like, right, no more. No more. We used to, you know, when we launched rockets, they all exploded every time. That was like the norm. It was normal for a rocket to not make it back, you know. In a previous lifetime, not even a few years ago, if Elon Musk had sent a rocket into space that did land and eventually fell over, we would have celebrated it.
Yeah.
So I find it quite humorous that a few years later, fast forward, and on attempt 297, a failure occurs in which the FAA is like, sorry, no more. You shall not launch another rocket until we can confirm the public is safe. But we're also just going to send Boeing's new test space rocket into space to strand people in space for 6 months. That's fine. We're not worried about that. You know, that's crazy to me. Anyway, is it time for a music break?
It sure is. And then we'll be back. Welcome back to Tech Plus. Kane, I don't know, do you remember MySpace?
Yes.
Was that before your time?
I remember it. I didn't use it.
Okay, so you remember. So you know that in your MySpace, you used to have a feature where you could put your favorite song at the top. And
yes.
then whoever visits your page can listen to it. It can be a famous song, or it can be a song that you make. Because a lot of people publish their own songs on MySpace. Yeah, I think there was like a page for bands.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
But anyway, so very interesting that Instagram is now going to implement that feature.
Yeah, why can't I say what profiles. My favorite song is? You know,
on their profiles, so cool. And then you can listen to whoever song it is.
Why can't I have shared playlists like I have shared images? That's
yeah.
so weird. I mean,
so now you can listen on your Instagram page. You can get whoever, like if I visit your page, I can listen to your favorite song at the top of your profile.
That's
on
cool.
Instagram. That's pretty cool. It's going
like
to roll
that.
Out in the next couple of days, so it will take some time, but I think that's pretty cool.
I have no complaints about that.
You know what? I don't know. We didn't verify this these tweets, but I don't know if you verified it between Discovery and Capitec.
I did. I verified. It's legit.
What?
Yeah.
Kane, thank you so much once again. I mean, first of all, thank you so much once again for verifying it, because I was wondering if we can share it. I can't believe this. What do you say about this? Let's just quickly say Discovery tweeted, this was on the 20th of August. It's about time. At some point, we thought voting stations are still open. Now, I'm not sure what they
okay,
were saying.
So
there.
I know what. Yes.
So can you tell us? Okay.
So this is crazy. So I actually have the tweets here, so luckily I can say. So fast track, Capitec makes an announcement. They've changed some stuff with some ATMs. So a news agency called MCZ or something, some news publication makes an article and posts it on Twitter to say, any Capitec bankers can now withdraw money from any Capitec ATM at the same price they would pay at a Capitec ATM. That was the news article. Then Discovery replies, the Discovery SA, at Discovery_SA on Twitter. They say, it's about time, with two claps.
Ah.
At some point, we thought voting stations are still open.
Oh, so that's where it came from.
So obviously
Thank
they're
you.
Taking a knock at Capitec, like, oh, finally, people can withdraw from ATMs. Probably taking a knock at Capitec for having such long queues. Anyway, Capitec's totally unimpressed, immediately reply. And they say, how about you worry about your own issues, fam? Question mark. Creating a WhatsApp group for your clients would be a good start. All five of them shaking hands emoji.
Yo, shots fired.
So obviously throwing some serious flame at them.
All five of them.
And obviously Woo. People who are seeing these responses from the first reply to the follow-up reply, they're like, whoa, what is going on
at
here?
At first, I thought this was fake, eh?
I'm sure everybody thought it was fake. And then Discovery went on to say that we will focus on that, referring to the WhatsApp group and their five clients, and you make sure your bank app works at the end of the month. And I'd like to report that they had some banking issues
yep.
this month.
Listen, hashtag burn. This was a burn. But listen, Kane, this is hilarious, and I'm sure it was very entertaining for the people reading it and seeing it at the time. But do you think this is proper conduct for corporates?
Absolutely not.
So obviously you've got social media managers managing these accounts, and now they're like, let's give our brand a little bit of
these
personality.
These guys are friends in real life, and
yeah.
they're like, let's oh, they're not friends, should I say.
Do you think like making your brand feisty and like this sort of adds personality to it, or
yeah.
do you think it does more harm?
It was such a good marketing technique.
Yeah,
it was well played by Capitec. It was surgically executed by Discovery. They didn't reply to Capitec's own post.
Uh-huh.
They ain't about getting sued for defamation.
Mm.
They replied to some random guy making some random news update about Capitec. And didn't tag Capitec. Capitec found it, which means people went to Capitec and be like, look here, what Discovery's saying about you in closed doors, my friend. And they were like, I can imagine the social media manager was like, no ways.
Jeez.
I'm coming for your neck. And the fight actually went on. It has procrastinated over the last week and a half.
What?
And they've been going back and forth. If it's
shots were fired.
But it, like, this is Discovery can Capitec rivalry right away. But you know what? I'm gonna say something truthful for a second here. Discovery might have had something to say about Capitec banking app.
Yeah.
But man, is Capitec banking app good.
Is
Capitec's
it? Oh,
banking
yes, it
app
is. It is
one of the most innovative apps.
I agree.
One of the most simple to use apps. one of the most user-friendly banking apps.
Yeah, that I agree.
If you zoom out for a second and you take a look at what America has at their disposal in terms of banking app functionality, they don't even come close. They don't even know what buying electricity on your banking app means.
Wow.
You know, they don't know when you buy airtime from your banking app. That doesn't exist. And obviously for us, any banking app you can buy electricity and internet for, but it's about how simple you make it. It's about how little steps are required for it. Capitec launched Money Saving Solutions. They're really a banking app that's built an application that I feel is very user-friendly. And even if Discovery has to say something bad about Capitec's app, I think Capitec has done well by that app. And I think they have led the way for South African banks on how you should build an app.
Yeah.
And Discovery could learn a thing or two from Capitec's app.
Yeah, I'm so with you. And also, I am actually with Capitec, and I love how you can create virtual cards in the app and stop cards, you know. And
even the functionality there, because even on Standard Bank, you can create virtual cards. But the process and just the simplicity behind it, it's not groundbreaking. It doesn't introduce certain features that other banks don't have. But it makes it makes features that aren't groundbreaking so simple to use that they become groundbreaking in their simplicity. And that's what a good app does. It takes the confusing and makes it simple.
Amen. And there was actually an update this week to the Capitec app. I don't know if you saw. And now under cards, you can they'll show your card. And, you know, you can toggle on and off online purchases or international transactions and set your limits. But there's a new one called Add to GPay. You know, they're just making it easier and easier for us.
Exactly. I mean,
I'm loving this.
They had the Add to Apple Pay as well. So I could add my Apple Pay, add my card directly.
It's a beautiful app,
Pay.
I must say.
They just enabled biometrics for sign-in.
Yep, you're right.
So
I saw that. That was that's new.
With your ID. They have money tracking. It's a good app. It's not to say that other banking apps in South Africa don't have some of these features, but they're good features.
Yeah.
They're simple to use, and they're going to help a person who's got very low-level smartphone understanding, and they're going to be able to use their
app. I think it's spot on. It's just getting better and better. I mean, I've been with FNB and Absa in the past, and those apps don't come close to Capitec, in my opinion.
They're very, very nice. And
I'm glad you agree with that.
They mustn't tune our Capitec app. I mean, that's a good app.
I love it. I think it's brilliant.
But they do have downtime issues.
I was going to say
that's
now
a real problem.
If you need petrol at 3 a.m., it could be a problem.
Don't go buying electricity in the middle of the night.
That's
there's
also
exceptions.
Yep.
You know, speaking of exceptions, Oprah Winfrey, you haven't heard of her in a while.
Yeah.
Will be having an interview next month with Sam Altman, the creator of OpenAI, ChatGPT. Bill Gates.
All right.
Maker of Microsoft Windows.
Oh dear.
And MKBHD, the tech influencer who put that one electric car manufacturer out of business with one review.
Oh my word, yes, you
they
told
will
us
all
about
get
it.
Together.
Yeah.
Yep. YouTube channel content creators can now also share their channels via QR code. I swear some updates just come in, they're like ancient, And also Google is increasing payouts for its top bug squashers. If you didn't know, now you know, consider yourself informed that there's this thing called bug hunting. And if you're a developer and you're pretty good at it and you can exploit systems and you consider yourself quite the hacker, there's actually ethical ways for you to make money hacking. And this would be one of them. And this is called bug hacking or bug hunting, right? And all you do is you essentially find an exploit, you find a vulnerability in a piece of software, you take that vulnerability to the individuals, you say, this is how it works, this is how you can recreate it, and this is, you know, this is why it's vulnerable. They'll pay you. So Google has just increased its payouts for people who have identified bugs and exploits. And anyone who can find, detail, and demonstrate remote code execution vulnerabilities in Chrome will receive $250,000. So 5 million rand per exploit you will make in cash for giving them that information. Now, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But that's 5 million rand payout per issue. I mean, you can find
more than enough motivation.
15 million rand.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy. And speaking of pretty crazy, X's Grok AI Tool has the Elon Musk leg company is allegedly running gas turbines without proper permits at a data center in Memphis. Local environmental groups are reportedly urging regulators to investigate. They're worried about nitrogen oxides, NOXs, and smoke forming pollution that can aggravate respiratory illnesses. So he's obviously operating some turbines without permission. So he's got some environmental
activists pretty angry. Just another case for Elon. Another
lawsuit
court case.
Number 20.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just to add to the mix. And that brings us to the end.
It sure does. And just before we go, a big shout out to one of our international listeners who sent us a mail saying he enjoys the show every week. His name is Nick Martin.
Hello, Nick.
Yeah.
Good to have you here, man.
Yeah, Nick is also a tech guy, so we'll chat to him in a while, you know, and see what he's up to.
Nice.
That's going to be interesting. And Kane, yeah, thank you so much for joining us yet again, and also to the Bokke. Playing later this afternoon against the All Blacks. It's going to be a big match this afternoon at 5 p.m. kickoff. All the best. I hope we win, you know?
Yeah, let's stay tuned for that. We are fingers crossed over here in the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. Kane, have a good weekend, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone listening, and see you next week, same time, same place. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.